Can you see the big picture? I remember several years ago I was in a sales training course, and the instructor of the course showed a video. And in this video there were a number of youth playing with a basketball, and they were bouncing the ball and throwing it back and forth to one another. And before the video started, the instructor said, "I want you to watch this one specific person, and I want you to count how many times they catch the ball, bounce the ball, or throw the ball to another person." And then he started the video. And everyone in the room started counting and following closely and intently. And when the video was over, he said, "How many times did the person catch the ball, bounce the ball, or throw the ball?" And everyone had a different answer. And that was great. And he listened to each answer, and he didn't say anyone was right or wrong. The truth is, he didn't actually know how many times that person caught the ball, bounced the ball, or threw the ball. But then he asked another question. He said, "How many people, while they were counting, saw the gorilla?" And nobody put up their hand. And he said, "Well, during that video, while you were counting, a gorilla walked right through the middle of the screen, stopped, pounded his chest, and continued on the other side of the screen." And nobody believed him. And so he showed the video again, and this time he didn't have us count. He just had us watch the video. And sure enough, about halfway through, a person in a fuzzy gorilla suit walked out, pounded his chest, and walked off the other side. And so he said, "What's the point?" The point was is that everyone was focused on one specific task, on one specific problem. And while they were focused on that, they were unable to see everything else that was going on in the video. And I thought about that as he said that. And I thought, how true that is in real life. Sometimes we focus on what's going on in our life, the problems, the issues that we're dealing with. And while we're doing that, we don't see life going on around us. I tucked that thought away, and life went on. And then recently, during our evening devotions, we started singing "This Is the Day." And my son, who's 3 years old, really loves the song. And so now he wants to sing "This Is the Day" every day. And so we do. And as we were doing this, I thought, I really don't want this to become something that's a vain repetition, something that we sing just to please our son, but we're not really getting anything out of it. So I decided to study where the song came from, and it came from Psalm 118, 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Then one particular day, we had a bad day. There was so much going on in our lives. There was so many things that we needed to get done, and not knowing how we were going to get them done. And I remember we paused at the end of the day for our nightly devotions, and sure enough, Josiah wanted to sing, "This is the day." And sometimes it's difficult to sing that song. When we consider everything that's going on, how can we look at this day that's been so bad, that's been so hard, the issues that we're dealing with and everything going on, and rejoice in that? And it can be really difficult sometimes. If we read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, we see that Jesus is telling us that we shouldn't be anxious for anything. We shouldn't worry about anything. He goes on to tell us that the birds of the air are fed by him, that the flowers are arrayed beautifully all by God. And if God cares so much for the birds and for the flowers, how much more would he care for us, and would he provide for us? Verse 34 of that chapter says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, wait a minute. Trouble? This is starting to make Psalm 118:24 even more profound. This is saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But each day has enough trouble of its own? Note what 118:24 of Psalms does not say. It does not say that this is the good day or that this is the great day. It's just the day. God never promised us that all days would be good. He never promised us that every day would be easy. Not once did he say that by believing in him, we would have no problems in life. In fact, the Bible tells us the opposite. By believing in him, we will have trials. We will have persecutions. So we go back to our verse. "This is the day that the Lord has made." But notice the end of that. "This is the day that the Lord has made." Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." We truly have a great and awesome God. And he has given us each and every day, and he has made it perfectly. And everything about our day, the trials, the tribulations, everything, come from him, and they come from him for a purpose. And so when we consider it, and we say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it," we start to see how we can. because the Lord is good. It's His nature. His nature is love. And so despite all our problems, despite all our trials, despite all our worries, we have a God who loves us. Oh, but it gets better. Because if we continue reading in Psalm 118, if we go beyond verse 24 and we read the next three verses, here's what we'll read. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. What a great reminder we have that we're not of this world. We have something far greater for us that Christ has already accomplished when he died for our sins on the cross and when he rose again conquering death. The trials of this life are meaningless when we step back, stop counting the bounces and the catches and the throws, and we look at the big picture and we see all that God has done for us by sending his Son. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.